you would, go ahead and take your Bibles and go back to 1 John chapter 5 this morning. We read here in 1 John chapter 5 the whole chapter. We're just going to focus on a few verses this morning. And when you look at the book of 1 John, he is writing to the family of God. He uses the phrase or the terms little children 9 times in this book. 9 times he says little children. 2 of those are personal. He says my little children, emphasizing the my there. And so he sees the folks that he's writing to as those that are born again believers, people who love God, and he's trying to encourage them in some things of God. Just a old fashioned family meeting talking about some different subjects. And he's sharing his heart and, of course, the relationship that we can have with the Lord and with each other. And in the last chapter, he talks about this witness. And, of course, he leads off in verse 6 with that and goes down to verse 13 talking about those things. And he's trying to assure or give assurance to those that are believers, but also he's given a warning to those as well. And so this morning, as we look at this, and we'll read it in just a few seconds, I want to share a message that I've entitled The Witness Within. The Witness Within. And if you would, if you found your place in 1 John, go ahead and stand, and we're going to begin reading in begin reading verse 6 and go down to verse 13 this morning. I was going to originally do verse 10, but we're going to go ahead and start there. That's where it starts, where he talks about a witness. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, if you found your place there. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning again, thanking you so much for your words. We thank you for John, who you inspired to print or write these words, that we might have them today. Father, that again we can be guided and directed. And we look to you this morning that you might again reveal to us and speak to us again, that the witness within ourselves, the witness that you've given to us, bears witness with your witness. And Father, I pray that you would continue to share with us through the word, that you would guide and direct in our lives, that we'd be able to look to you and trust you in all things. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So he talks about this witness. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, he says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And right there, he's talking about a witness. What is this witness? Well, that Greek word witness is comes from the foundation of the word martus. And it's translated as witness, and it's also where we get the word martyr from. That's where we get the word martyr, okay? And so in our text, there are several other words that get their base from martus. Marturia, which is a noun, and marturio, which is a verb. And, of course, the noun speaks of being a record, report, testimony, witness. And, of course, marturio, which is the verb, talks about testifying, or give evidence, or bear record, or have a good report. And so we see this in this passage. We see this many times in the passage, beginning verse 6 down to verse 12, I believe it is. Verse 11. We're going to see that many times. I think it's 9 times that this word, in one form or another, this martus, is mentioned here in this passage. And again, he's talking about this witness that really is something that helps us to understand who we are. whether we're in Christ or not. The witness that reveals to us those things. We know today to be a witness. We see something happen. We give a testimony of that. We see an accident. We can be a witness of that. We can see anything that happens out there. We can say, I saw that. I was there. I experienced that. That's a witness, okay? That's giving testimony of something. And that's what the Spirit of God does for us. It gives us that witness within ourselves. John writes, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And that witness means that we're to testify, a witness speaking of the Spirit of God himself. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 in your Bibles, please, if you have your Bibles open. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So here he's talking about faith. And that's what happens, or what has to happen, for us to have that witness. Okay, we need to get to the root of this, and that is faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so as we see, we have to go to the Word of God to get the faith that God gives us, that we too can have that witness that bears witness in ourselves that we are a child of God. Here he tells us that word believeth is faith. That's what that means, faith. Whosoever have faith that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. So it's the faith that we have. Now, in this chapter, this is John who's writing. He's writing, and I think he's writing in context of what Jesus taught him and when he shared in John chapter 3. Go over here, over to John chapter 3 for a second. John chapter 3 in your Bible. Many of you know this very well. We know this is a time when, as Jesus, he just completed some miracles. He turned the water into wine, and there was a fellow who saw this. One of these fellows happened to be Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Pharisees. He was somebody that was highly regarded, someone who was very smart, if you will. And so he came to Jesus, and when he saw these miracles, he knew he was different from anybody else. And so he wanted to find out. Now, the Bible says he came by night. It makes perfect sense to me. He didn't want to be seen by anybody else. He didn't want the other Pharisees or the Jews to see him come to Jesus because he wasn't sure what was going on here, and he wanted to find out for himself. And so he had an encounter with Jesus. Look at verse 3. It says, verse 2. It says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So right away he acknowledged that he is a master. He acknowledged that God is with him. That's an amazing thing. That's what we have to acknowledge too. We have to understand that Jesus Christ is God, and that as God, he's the only one that can take away the sins that we have today. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, okay? I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Logical questions, make sense to me. Someone tells you that you must be born again. What does that mean to me? That means what I know, and all I know is the physical birth. That there was a time in my life, 63 years plus ago, that my mother birthed me, and that was when I was first born. So based on what he said, does that mean I need to do that over? You must be born again? That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? But Jesus explains these things clearly to him. In verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What is this water? What is he talking about here? Well, he tells us, if you look at the next verse, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he tells him real clear, he explains it, the water birth is that physical birth. That's the first birth. That's that birth when your mother had you, and you came out of that water sack, and you were born into this world. That's the first birth that we all have. But then there's a spiritual birth. That is the second birth. That is the born again. So often you'll talk to people and you'll talk to them about the Lord. They have no idea what it means to be born again. I think a Christian that knows Christ as their Savior and has been saved for any period of time would know that they're born again. That's something that takes place in your life. And we're going to see it's talking about the witness in us. In verse 7, Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." So here he explains it to him. He tries to help him out. He's trying to share. Just like as you are born in this world physically, you have a spiritual birth. Just like that physical birth, you came into this world as a baby. A spiritual birth, you come in as a baby as well. A spiritual baby. And then you grow. Just like as the physical birth, the spiritual birth, you grow. And you become more like Christ. The Bible teaches us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So to be born again requires faith. And that's what he's talking about. Look at verse 15 of chapter 3. These are our verses we memorized last month. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God is not condemning anybody. We condemn ourselves. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So here he's talking about this new birth. When we talk about the witness within, you have to have that new birth. Without the new birth, you have not that new witness, that witness within that is the Spirit of God, that witness that helps us and gives us discernment and the wisdom to live this life. So everyone that has that witness must at some point repented and turned to God, confessing their sin and asking the Lord to save them. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible tells us in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise from God. So if you've done that in your life, then something has happened to you. You have been changed in the sense that just as a physical birth happened, a spiritual birth happened. I don't remember it, my physical birth, but I'm sure I cried like a baby. Probably somebody smacked me too, back in the day when they used to smack you, wake you up or whatever. And when I got born again, I couldn't shut my mouth. Now, I wasn't crying like a baby. But I was telling people what happened because there was a change. Something happened. I'd just been birthed into this world as a spiritual creature and not just the physical. In Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's that spirit or that witness within. 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his spirit. That's that witness. Jesus told his disciples when he was gone that he would send the Comforter. We shared that in Sunday school this morning. In John chapter 14 says, and I will pray the Father and he shall give you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so that Spirit that God has given us to dwell in us is also the Spirit that testifies of himself. How do we know? We have that witness within inside of us, that witness of the Spirit of God, which matches up and bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. And when that happens, there is a testimony or a testifying because we are a witness that something's happened to us. John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. That Spirit that resides in me is going to do what? Testify of him, is what it says. The Spirit testifies of him. So if I have the witness in myself, the witness within, I will testify of him. That's what that witness does. It also guides us into all truth in John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's the witness within that we have today. It's the witness that reveals that we are in the family. in the family of God. Turn back over to 1 John if you've left it, and if you haven't, stay right there. I want you to look at 1 John, and we're going to look at some verses in 1 John, because here's the culmination of all this. As John is sharing, and he's talking to his children, or my little children, or little children in general, he's talking to the family of God. And he's given us some things that, with the witness within, these are things that we will act upon. These are the things that we will become or try to emulate, if you will. And it's that desire to follow him. So a desire to have fellowship with God. That's what the witness within does. If you have the witness within you today, the Spirit of God, you've been born again, you have a desire to fellowship with God. That should be there. Because that Spirit testifies of Jesus. And it wants us to be with Him. And that's the thing that we battle so often. The flesh and the Spirit. Bang, bang, bang. He says here in verse 3, if you look in your Bibles in 1 John chapter 1, he says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." It's that fellowship we have a desire. As the witness is within, we want to know more about Him. We want to find out, what is He about? Who is He? What is He doing? He has changed my life, and He's changed me into a different, or given me a different direction. So we have a desire for fellowship. We also have a desire for obedience. Look at John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 3. He says, "And hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." Again, we're not perfect, we're not there, we're not arrived, but that is the desire the witness has inside of us, is to be like Him, is to be obedient to Him. To find out, what does He want us to do? How does He want us to live? And we're going to see some of that as John is writing to his little children. He spells out some of that. So one of those things, of course, in John 14, 15, the same author here that by the Holy Spirit penned these words, penned the words, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Talking, actually, Jesus said them, but he penned them. In John 14, 21, Jesus also said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." The witness within gives us the desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to find out what is right and what is wrong. What do we need to do? He told us to come unto Him, right, and learn of Him. That's what He wants us to do. So, number one, it's a desire to fellowship with God. Number two, it's a desire to have obedience to God, but also a desire to forsake the world. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Of course, John writes, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world..." Let me read that again. "For some that is in the world..." Didn't say that, did it? "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So we're to forsake the world. We're to give up chasing the dreams of the world, what the world dictates to us and tells us we're supposed to do. We're to put those aside because we want to follow God. Our dreams ought to be the dreams that God gives us through the Word of God. I want fellowship with God. I have a desire to be obedient to God. I want to forsake the world or get away from it as far as I can. I don't want to walk half and half. I don't want to walk as a Christian and be tempted by the world. So I want to get away from that world, forsake it, quit, stop, get away from it. No longer let it challenge me to follow it, although it does. But he says, we're also, it's a desire to reject the antichrist of those who come and try to trick us. Look at verse 18 of chapter 2, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists." Today there are many antichrists. What's an antichrist? Antichrist is someone who is opposite of Christ. Someone who's not holy. Someone who's ungodly. Someone who's after the world. God's not in the world. He hates the world. He's at enmity with the world. So those are antichrists. Those that want to lead us astray. He says, watch out. He says, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, he's writing this close to over 2,000 years ago, and he's saying it's the last time. Well, today we can say the same thing. We feel like we're in the last time. In verse 19, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, and they were not all of us. But we have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. That unction of the Holy One. That's what God has given to us. That's a special grace that He's given us to live this life. That witness within says, stay away from Antichrist. It says, fellowship with God. I have a desire to fellowship with God. I have a desire to be obedient to God. I have a desire to forsake the world. I have a desire to watch out and know who the real Christ is so I don't get fooled. And there are a lot out there, by the way. You probably got some coming to your mind as you think about that. But it's also a desire not to sin. With the witnessing in, we have a desire not to sin. There are a lot of people who sin. I'm one of them. But my desire is not to sin. And so when I do the things that He's telling us to do, to have fellowship with God, to be obedient with God, to forsake the world, watch out for the Antichrist, and then do not sin. Look at verse 3. It says, behold what manner of love, chapter 3, verse 1, the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. When Jesus Christ was in the world, the world didn't go around Him and gather up and say, we want to follow You. Now some of them said that, but many left Him. Didn't care, because it was too hard. And today we're in the same place. The world does not love Jesus. And if the world doesn't love Him, the witness that's within inside of me, the world shouldn't love me. Now I'm not saying we're not to be friends with people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking where the rubber meets the road. The witness of Christ is in me. As a Christian, I'm a new creature. I'm different. I shouldn't be like everybody else. I shouldn't talk the way they talk or act like the way they act. Not the heathenistic ways they do and the things they think about, the things they look at, the things they drink or eat or whatever, any of that. To an extent, you need to be careful. He goes on and says, beloved, in verse 2, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when we know that, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That day that we see Jesus Christ face to face, it'll all come together, just like that. Perfection. Boom. There it is. I won't have to think about it. I won't have to be challenged by it, because I will automatically serve the Lord. I won't even have thoughts of sin. I won't even know what sin is anymore. It'll go out. Why? Because God is holy, and I'm going to be with Him in a holy place forever and ever and ever and ever. And there'll be no sin there. There cannot be. So He tells us that we're to not have a desire to sin. Look at verse 3. For every man that hath his hope in Him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. So I'm going to leave it there. And He's not talking about the sin that we all do. He's talking about a continual sin. If you have continual sin in your life, and you're not challenged by the Word of God, you need to ask yourself, is the witness within? Why? Because that witness is going to speak of Jesus. That witness is going to guide us into the life that Jesus wants us to live. It's not going to guide us into the world. So if we're living in sin and it's a continual thing, we don't have any struggles with it, we just, hey, this is okay, I don't care what God thinks about this, I'm just going to do it, you need to ask yourself, because something's wrong. The alarm's not going off. Ding, 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 ding. I was in the elevator the other day in Farmington, and it was a buzzer. About scared me to death. I heard, like that. I went, whoa, this is an elevator? Where's the ding at? You know, I don't know why I came to that. But anyway, God wants to speak to us, and He will remind us. And He says He has given us a desire not to sin when we have the witness within ourselves. But He also gives us a desire to give. Look at verse 16. He says, hereby, this is chapter 3, we excuse me, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's talking about giving. We're to give our lives. Give our lives to the Lord. Give our lives to the brethren. That's not always easy, is it? I'm unlovely sometimes. I'm uncaring. I'm not somebody that you want to lay down your life for. But nonetheless, the Bible teaches us that we should. We're to give. We have a desire to give. We have a desire to know the truth. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. How am I going to try the spirits? Somebody comes up and says, hey, I got a good idea. Why don't you invest in this or that or whatever? How am I going to know if that's the right thing to do? How am I going to know? I need to get into the Word of God and let the Spirit of God show me. Because God will reveal those things to us. We need to get the background. We need to do some research. We need to find out about some things because there are hidden things out there. The Antichrist are hidden. And they want to lead us and misguide us into a lot of things. The things that I do, the places I go, all of that stuff is very easy to fall into the world. He goes on, he says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is God, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The witness within himself. He says, they are the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. What do they talk about? The things of the world, is what he's saying. They speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The witness is within us. God desires us to have fellowship. That's what that witness will do. God desires obedience. God desires us to forsake the world. God desires to reject the Antichrist, to not sin, to give, to know the truth. God's desire is that we love each other. Verse 11 of chapter 4. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man had seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit, the witness within. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Let me read that again. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We're at enmity to the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment, have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So here, the witness inside of us, as John is writing, he's given us these things that reveal to us. These are the things that demonstrate that we have the witness inside. When you're born again and you start growing in Christ, these are the things that you start learning and growing in. And you realize that God has a plan for you that's different from the world. It's something that is completely different. It's a whole new life. That's what being born again is about. A new life, a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That is a transformation. It is a change. And in chapter 5, he tells us that. To be an overcomer is to believe in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him. And when you do that, then you come to the record. And that's the record that God has given to us. What is the record? The record is the Word of God. In verse 10, he said, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not in the record that God gave of his Son." And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Again, those things mean witness. When you look at those verses, verse 10, he says, "hath the witness." Again, that's that word, that base word, martyr, if you will, in the English. The record, the same thing. Gave of his Son. That is the same word. Again, meaning that he gave, or he testified of his Son. This is the record that he's given to us. In John chapter 20, verse 31, John wrote these. He says, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John records this in John chapter 19. I don't have time to go there. Well, actually, I'm going to go there because I cannot leave this out. Go to John chapter 19. Talking about the record. This is what we understand. This is the witness. This is a testimony. The record. You hold the record in your hand right now. The record of what God has done. And so when we read this, this record, it speaks to us. It draws us to God. We put our faith and trust in Jesus. We get the Spirit of God, that witness, and that witness helps us to confirm the record because we live the record. We begin living as God has called us to live, and that's the Word of God. In John chapter 19, look at verse 25, Jesus on the cross. In verse 25 says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved," John, "he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record." That's that word witness again. "And his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced." You hold in your hand the record, the testimony of God himself, of his Son, what he's done. And when you put your faith and trust in Christ, that witness comes into your life. That witness bears witness that you're a child of God. That witness speaks of Jesus Christ in your life. That's the point. When the woman was at the well, she left after she met Jesus. In John chapter 4, verse 28 and 29 says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" See, the Word of God reveals all things about us. All things. And when you have the witness inside of you, it reveals to you those things. When you don't do as John is talking about, and we're not in fellowship with God, we're not obedient to God, and we're committing the sin, and we're following the world, and all those things, that witness says, stop! 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 Why? Because God's plan is different. But the only solution to get the witness is to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." You do not get the witness without that. Without that, you have no witness. Without that, you do not believe the record. And then finally, we see the witness, we see the record, but I want to show you the security. Turn back to 1 John. As John is writing to his children, he says, little children, he considers these folks that he's writing to really as babes in Christ. I'm a babe in Christ still. I'm still learning and growing, and I hope I've got my long pants by now, but who knows? Maybe I'm still in shorts. Some of you older folks know what that means. Some of you younger may not. But we start learning, and God's given this to us so we would know. What do we need to know? What is the security he's talking about? Look at verse 13. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. These things, you can hold this up right here. And this is John speaking. He's speaking about all those things he wrote in 1 John. Those things I mentioned about fellowship. Those things I mentioned about obedience. Those things I mentioned about watching out for the Antichrist, not to sin, and to love each other, to give. He said, these things have I written. And he wrote those that we might know. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That witness is a first-hand witness to John. Turn over to John chapter 1 again and look at the first four verses. John relays this to us as he begins this. John actually seen Jesus. He was a witness himself. He knows what it is to have the Spirit of God living inside of him because he was there on the day of Pentecost and he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he's trying to make that clear to his children, these people that are saved. And he's talking to the saved here. But this is also a warning for those that aren't. Look at verse 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. The word of life is Jesus Christ. And you can look that up in John chapter 1. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. This is the person that was there at the day of Pentecost. Received the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's wanting to confirm and help these people that he believes as Christians, and I'm sure they are, that they too have that witness. He wanted their joy to be full. He wanted to live the life that is free from sin, free from the world's desires, free from the tug of the Antichrist, the devil, free from our own self-destruction. We can do that. But it requires trust and obedience. That word know is a Greek word, ado. Ado. That's all it is. It's a real simple, small word. It means to see or know. So when you see something, you're a witness. You can know that it happened. We see it in our lives. It's used many times in 1 John. I think 15 times he uses that word know in this book. He's saying we can know, we can know, we can know, we can know. It's not a guess. It's not hopefully it'll happen, but it will. You can know it. Jesus, after feeding the 5,000, he made the statement that these folks would be sealed that know him. Sealed. That's that word that we all share many times, talking about being sealed by the Spirit of God. That word seal means to be stamped. It means to have security or preservation. It means to attest the seal. You know, in the tribulation, 144,000 are going to be sealed. They're going to have a mark. You have a mark today. Only it's not outside unless the inside is working on the outside. Does that make sense? The seal is Jesus Christ. That seal is going to spill out from the inside out. Now, you might not look any different, but it's going to change your attitude. It's going to change your heart. It's going to change your mindset to the things that you think are right and wrong. You're going to learn something that's different. And it is different. It's contrary to Satan and the world. It doesn't think the same way. I mean, does the world say we ought to love our enemies? And when someone beats you up, you ought to heap coals on them, meaning that you ought to give them something. Someone at work cusses you out and maybe says some things you don't like. If you're like me, you go home grumbling and say, I'm going to get the guy. But if you're Christ, you're going to bake a cake and go take it to him. I've been praying for you. I want you. This is my favorite cake. I just want to share it. What's that do? Heap coals. Now, it doesn't have to be a cake. It could be a pizza or something. It could be anything. It doesn't even have to be materialistic necessarily. But Paul made it clear that we can know. He said in 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22, now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us, that anointment is the Spirit of God, is God, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. It's there. We have it. We can't lose it. Nobody can take it away from us. And it's real. Ephesians 1:3, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He told us we're sealed. He told us that we had this anointing. He told us that it would last until the day that Jesus Christ comes back. We've got it. You can't lose it if you know Christ is your Savior. If you have the witness inside of you. If you have the witness within. In Galatians 4:6, Paul wrote, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When you have the Spirit within, you're going to have desires that are different than they were. Many people I know that have been saved over the years, it took and changed their lives 180. From living and chasing the world's dreams, from being drunkards, from being immoral, or there was immorality in their life. All those things that the world says, this is what you need, this is what you ought to chase. They turned completely around and left all of those things behind. Why? Because they had a spirit within. And that spirit within challenged them. As the Spirit of God testifies of Himself, and as we read the Word of God and learn, we will also testify of Him. When Sir James Simpson, the discoverer of chloroform, was on his deathbed, a friend asked him, Sir, what are your speculations? He's on his deathbed. And this is what he said. He quoted 2 Timothy 1:12. He said, For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep me, which I have committed unto him against that day. When the Spirit comes into your life, that witness, and we commit our lives to Him, it is God working in us that changes us. I can't do it on my own. I can't work it up. I can't dress it up. I can't talk it up. I can't do it in some other fashion without God's help. It is the Word of God that makes the difference. It's the Word of God that does the transforming. It's the Word of God that helps us. But all we have to do, and this is hard. This all we is so hard. This is our stumbling block. This is the problem we have, is submission to God. I don't know about you, but there's pride. When there's pride in my life, boy, I don't want to submit to anybody or anything. I want to do it my way when I want to do it, how I want to do it. But God has a different way. And that's what we need to do, is surrender to His way. The witness within. This morning, the question is, do we have the witness? Is it inside of us? Do we know that? If it is not, then we're making God a liar. Why is that? Because we don't believe the record that you hold in your hand. If there's any question or any thought that you really don't know if you have the witness in you, I would love to sit down and go through the Word of God, confirm it with you. And there are others here as well. Why? Because the most important decision any person can make, young or old, is to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when you do, it will make a difference in your life. You could have the witness, but you're not really living because you're not really submitted to God. If that's the case, there's an easy fix for that too. And that's just repent to God. And when you do so, call it for what it is, sin. He'll begin working again and give you the strength and power to commit to Him. God loves everybody, but not everybody loves God. Make sure that you're one of those that has the witness within and know you love God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you thanking you so much. We thank you for John and these words that he has shared with us in the book of 1 John. We know that the Spirit that you've given to us, those that have been born again, is given to us for a purpose. Father, it's our desire that we would let that Spirit have free reign in our life, that it might be able to help us, just as John pointed out in the book of 1 John, how it changes our life, changes our direction, and makes a difference. Father, help each one here submit to that, just to trust you. Father, there may be some here that have never put their faith and trust in you. I pray today would be the day of salvation. That they understand that they're lost. Understand that Jesus died for them. And be willing to change their mind about how good they think they are. Change their mind about what Jesus did for them. That they would turn to God, repent, and confess their sin. And that they would believe with all their heart that Jesus died on the cross for them. And they too would call on you today. Father, have your way in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.